This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we're back for another week of hot baseball jams. 98.3 Baseball Jams.
This is the radio now.
Thank you guys for joining us for another week. I am just getting over a cold, which you may be able to hear in my voice. So I'm sorry I don't have my usual dulcet tones to ring in the baseball mood, the baseball. I guess. Put you in a...
I'll have to pick up the slack.
Yeah. You're going to have to get a lot sexier on your vocalizations for this episode.
That's not the role I could play.
Before we get into baseball talk, I want to give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio and OffTheBenchBaseball.com for their help with distribution. You can support Boardwalk. Visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Check out their many excellent podcasts. And go to OffTheBenchBaseball.com for lots and lots of baseball analysis. I just realized one thing that's not on the rundown that I wanted to talk about should talk about before we get into baseball talk. Drag race. We haven't done a drag race episode update all season. The finale is...
Have we not done one at all?
Yeah. I don't think we've done one. The finale is...
Thursday.
Uh-huh. This is coming out on Wednesday, so it's tomorrow for our listeners. Who do you think is going to take it home? We got four queens left.
Right. I don't have... I didn't see... Did you watch like the reunion episode?
I did not watch the reunion. I did not watch it either. I tend to find those reunions to be very boring.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah. Me too, usually. So we have Evie.
We got Evie Oddly. Silky Ganache.
Silky won't win.
Brooklyn Heights. And Akiria C. Davenport.
I think it's probably Evie's to lose, right?
That's how I feel for sure. She's definitely the most interesting queen.
And she really killed it on the last episode.
Yeah. I think people who are not into Drag Race should just Google Evie Oddly and check out some of her like crazy ass moves. Because she has some kind of like weird body disease that like...
she might not be able to walk in like 3 years.
By weird, I mean that it's like debilitating, but it also gives her like superpowers.
It does. Like she can move her body in crazy
ways. She's like basically a contortionist. Yeah. That's what I mean. Not like it's weird that she has a disease, but
the
like
disease
it's...
disease causes her to be able to do weird things.
Yes.
Or odd things.
Odd things. She do things oddly.
Yeah. I don't like Evie as a... person. Nah, I shouldn't throw hate on her. She's not my cup of tea. She reminds me of a lot of college theater kids.
Yeah, she's
thought that they were like the most weird, unusual person with their point of view. I think she'll probably grow out of it because she's probably pretty... I think she's like in her early 20s.
Yeah.
So she drives me crazy in that sense, but I will not deny her talent.
Yeah, she's overly confrontational, which, like, despite loving drama on reality shows, it's the kind of drama that I'm not here for, let's say.
Yeah, and the way she does it is, like, she doesn't ever understand why people get mad at her, because she's one of those people that's like, I'm just telling you the truth. And it's just like, sometimes don't say the truth.
you just need to not say anything. Just let somebody bitch. let somebody whine and get it out of them. You don't need to correct them on their whining.
But she's not... there have been much worse queens. I don't like... there are some queens that, including in this season, that I've just like been like, I feel like you're a bad person. Mm. And I don't feel that way about Evie.
Yeah.
I feel like Evie's just a person, a specific type of person who annoys me.
Yeah.
But she is very talented. I don't think she's a great actress, but I think she's going to get away with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wouldn't imagine there's any acting challenges in the final.
Well,
That'd be strange.
But I mean, usually at this point, that's like, that could be like the killer. But I think the other favorite's probably Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
And she's also not a great actress.
Right. Sure. She's just a great dancer and has some stellar looks. I think the interesting thing about this season and sort of like where Drag Race diverges, I mean, there's many ways it diverges from a sport, but I think there's like commonalities just like in the way that people follow Drag Race, which I think we've talked about on this show before. But where this season What's interesting about this season and where it really diverges from a sport is that I think the real winner from this season is Miss Vanjie.
Oh, my gosh.
Even though she's already been eliminated.
She's a star.
She's like, yeah, she's going to be the one who has the most lasting career, the most lasting fame from participating in this season, which is the real prize.
She's the David Ross of the season.
The what?
The David Ross of the season.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
She's like a legend.
Yeah.
And like her... her exit was like, she got two legendary exits because her first season exit was legendary and this one she killed it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she'll be back from All Stars because that would be crazy to have her back a third time. But I mean, she's like,
I think she'll be back for All Stars at some point. I don't know if it'll be All Stars, but I'm pretty confident they want to bring her back.
I think she's in the small circle of All Star greats.
Yeah.
Like up there with like Alyssa.
Yeah.
What's her name? Latrice Royale of greats that didn't win.
Not a big Latrice fan.
She's a legend, though. Yeah, you can't deny that.
I can't.
She's a drag race. You can't. She's like a drag race icon.
That's
like a fact. It's an objective fact.
I can and I will.
You cannot like her, but she is a drag race icon.
Yeah, I don't.
And did you see season four?
No.
You gotta see season four. Okay, and then you'll
maybe I'll watch season four, but I don't get the Latrice hype, at least based on this most recent All Star season.
She was not the best she was ever was season four.
Yeah. I think there's a lot that Vanjie has in common with Shangela, both in their like skill sets and personalities and their paths in drag race. Yeah. And I hope that she will follow a similar path to success post drag race. Because I don't think Vanjie's built for drag race really to excel on drag race.
The difference between Shangela and Vanjie is also not a good actor. Like, she's always Vanjie. Like,
yes,
she couldn't.
Correct.
She had so many things where, like, she needed to, like, be a different persona or commit to a different character, and she can't.
Yeah.
And so, if she can do Vanjie, she can kill it. But if she has to at all have a different look or face or anything, she can't. Yeah. But that doesn't matter because what Vanjie is so, and Shangela could do anything, acting wise. But, Vanjie's great. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to know what Shangela thought about the ending to Game of Thrones. Because Shangela was always quoting Game
she
of Thrones.
She was always quoting Game of Thrones. Yeah.
I want to know what her reaction was.
She must have tweeted about it.
Probably. I should look it up.
Last thing I'll say is, who I'm rooting for is Akiria. I don't think Akiria will win, but she's my favorite. My personal favorite.
She has
not
the
my
most
betting.
Fun personality, I think, just in the talking heads and that kind of a thing. Yeah.
I don't even necessarily think she's the best, but she's the one I like the most. And the only person who I'll be upset about winning will be Silky.
Silky.
Because she's, talk about annoying.
Yeah. Although, like, I can respect Silky's hustle if I'm not if I'm not actively watching Silky. Like, Silky puts me off, but then I'm like, hey, I respect it. And, like, so DragCon was this weekend in L.A. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend Robin went with her friends. I was supposed to go, but as I mentioned, I had a cold. Mm-hmm. And she took a picture of Silky, and Silky was legit wearing like jeans and like...
With her pads showing?
She wasn't wearing pads. She was wearing like jeans and a collared shirt and a wig. And she was even wearing like her like Nike flip-flop like shower sandals. And she had this amazing fucking set for her booth. Like, it was like impeccably designed. And then Silky was just like wearing, not even made up, wearing sunglasses. I was like, I respect the fucking like... choice, like,
yeah, no,
you know,
I do too, but
you
like,
do you.
No one in the history of drag race could have been read as much for having pad showing and for having uniforms look like that and then made it to the finals.
Yeah, well, it was a weak season, and I think Rude does have a soft spot for some contestants that
this has been so great.
It just affects the way that she judges, and I think that's true.
This is
so
like Miguel Cabrera winning the MVP just because he won the Triple Crown. Like, this is like. I'll bring it back to baseball, but it has been a weak season. But I think Nina was better than her. Like, I know you don't love her. I don't know. I don't think Silky's bad, but the things that she got read for have been like instant bottom two in other seasons for other queens, and the fact that she just keeps getting away from it, and like every challenge, everyone's just like, no, it's Silky. And then they give everyone else the same notes that's like, you got to be not yourself every time. And it's like, she can't keep getting away with this.
I'm with you. I think that she probably should have been in the bottom in the last episode.
Oh, for sure. But they wanted that sweet, sweet.
They wanted that
boyfriend on boyfriend.
Yeah, Brooklyn on Vanjie. Yeah, action. All right. Well, that's probably all I need to say on Drag Race. But
yeah, who do you think is going to win? You think it's Evie?
I think it's going to be Evie.
Okay,
Evie, or I think like 60% chance Evie, like 40% chance Brooklyn.
I think that's good.
Yeah. I don't think Silky or Akiria have much of a chance.
No, I don't either. I think it'll be between Evie and Brooklyn, and I think you're right. I think it'll probably be Evie.
Especially with that like insane lip sync that they did earlier in the season, Evie versus Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be the top two. They need a rematch of that lip sync,
sure.
You know?
For sure.
But anyway, moving back to baseball, as this is Duck Snort Baseball Podcast, we were going to... So last week, we spent talking about some of the worst organizations in baseball. So we thought we'd flip things on its head, get a little wild and crazy with our flipping of topics. We'll talk about the best organizations in baseball.
But we were talking about the worst teams this year, but we're all kind of saying, do any of them have a chance to be good?
Yeah.
But this is a little different in the sense, or right when we talked about it, it's more of like, these organizations don't necessarily have to be in first place or good this year, but they probably are, and they're probably set up to be good, or they have been good long-term, and we expect them to continue to be contending.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I think, for me, the qualifications, and you're right, it's not exactly the same as last week, so thanks for throwing me under the bus.
It wasn't under the bus, it's a clarification.
No, you made very clear your feelings. For me, it's putting aside payroll and just focusing on, like, organizationally, who has the best strategies in terms of player acquisition, player development, keeping players healthy, and, like, and like on field strategy.
Sure.
Who is maximizing the resources they have to the greatest degree?
Right. Yeah.
And I think, like, just going back to last week, like, we were talking about the worst organizations this season.
They're kind of the same.
But yeah, I think, like, it'd be hard to argue that those are kind of the three, maybe at least three of the five, like, worst run organizations in baseball right now.
Definitely.
Just to be at the place that they're at.
Yeah, you're right. So it's pretty similar in that sense. But it is this
vindication. Feels so good.
You're out from I dragged you from under the bus. Great. So unlike last week where we talked about the teams beforehand, we did not mention teams when we talked about
it.
So what, I'll ask you first, what's the first team that springs to your mind for this?
Should we count down 5 to 1 or 1 to 5?
Oh, we're each doing our top five.
That's what I was thinking.
Right. You said that. No, I'll throw myself under the bus. Okay. Yeah. Let's count down five.
It doesn't have to be.
Let's do 5 to 1, but you go first because you, pitched the idea.
Pitched the idea and planned it out ahead of time. So my fifth best is the Brewers.
Okay.
Because I think the Brewers they do a great job of finding undervalued talent when you, like, guys like Eric Thames and Jesus Aguilar, who they've sort of dug out of nowhere. And they did, you know, acquired Christian Yelich for very little, it seems like, at this point. I think they, as we've talked about before, zigged when other organizations were zagging in terms of the free agent market, which got them some really great, the Lorenzo Cain deal, I think, is like one of the best contracts in recent memory, at least it looks like, and as well as the Yasmani Grandal acquisition. And I think that they, in terms of on-field strategy, like, they do everything they can to maximize their bullpen and minimize their starting pitching weaknesses, and they have a good defense generally, and generally a good farm system. So I think that I'm impressed just with how they've set themselves up without going into the full tank that other organizations have embraced.
Yeah, and like it. Well, first of all, I'll ask this about Cain. So let's say Cain finishes out and has another great year, and then now he's done. He Dexter Fowlers. Do you think it was worth it? I think probably, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Which is great. That's what you want. You want the front.
You need the front years to, like, pay for themselves. And I also think, just in terms of Cain, he's a special player in terms of culture setting and fan engagement, I guess. He's like fans love him.
Everyone's
and, like,
favorite
teammates
player.
Love
yeah.
him, you know? And I think that is an underappreciated asset for a team that is trying to become a contender, is to have a guy like him, especially one who has the cred of having won a World Series.
Do you feel like it's that, like, the Mariners in some way are trying to do what the Brewers did and they're just bad at it?
I think they are trying to do what the Brewers did. I think I'm not sure they're bad at it. I think that they were trying to, like, they just started trying to do what the Brewers did.
Oh, I see. So they're in
the previously they were trying to do sort of what the White Sox used to do,
right?
In, like, the
oh yeah, they
late
definitely
2000s,
were doing that.
The, like,
yeah.
the churning, but like I think, you know, it still took the Brewers a couple of years of being not very good to
sure.
become very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Mariners are retooling without bottoming out right now.
Yeah.
And, like, they've been slumping,
oh, for sure.
but they're
yeah.
still not bottomed out. You know, they're not.
Well, I mean,
the
they still have the
whatever.
Talent to. Yeah, it's not like the Mariners, again, when it's not a smoke and mirrors. Like, they're still a threat in the National League. Like, you can't
right.
count them out.
Right, right, right.
That's a good one, Brewers. Okay.
Thank you.
That's a good one. I should do my number five?
Yeah, give me your number five.
Okay, I forgot to rank them, so I tried to rank them in my head while you were talking.
Okay.
I am going to go with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Ooh, see, the
five.
Cardinals were a near miss from my list.
They're five for me because it seems like we might be in the downswing of it.
Right.
But, man, have they been good for so long. And I don't see... And they can develop players.
Yeah,
right, like
Paul
they,
DeYoung.
Yeah.
Is like a dark horse MVP candidate right
and
now.
And Matt Carpenter last year. And he's been good for a while, but it's mm-hmm. just like, I guess they haven't proved to us yet that we can count them out. Even though they missed the playoffs last year, they very easily could this year. They're not playing well right now.
Yeah.
But like...
I see, the reason I didn't put them is because I think reputationally they are like mm-hmm. number one maybe, but
yeah.
I haven't seen it in the last couple of years. And you look at
yeah.
sort of the way that the team collapsed in around Mike Matheny last year. And, like, I think the Tommy Pham trade was terrible. And the Marcelo Ozuna trade was a good acquisition, but, like, they haven't made the playoffs in what, 3 years? And, like, it feels to me like they've been treading water. Like, they're,
I agree.
They're
it's a tough division too.
Yeah, it
like
is a tough division.
If they were
but,
in the NL East, they would have dominated the last 2 years probably.
Yeah. I just wonder if they're, kind of getting by on they rested on their laurels for a second and
it's
cost them.
I think that you're probably right, but I think that unlike this is not to show on the White Sox, but unlike the White Sox where we've already talked about them resting on the laurels sank them for 15 years.
Yeah.
I feel like the Cardinals are usually a sharp enough organization to turn it around and relatively quickly.
So that's
what I meant
are.
By counting it out. Like now yeah. if they start going on a path like This is why I have them at five, because
right.
like 2 years ago, they probably would have been one or two or three.
Right.
But they're on that path, but it's hard to completely abandon the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Because it's been basically 20 years of doing
this. They've been
yeah.
the Spurs. We were yeah. talking before the podcast started about kind of this thing in other sports. And I think they have been the Spurs for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but I think, yeah, I wonder if, it's been a while now, but it might take this long to see the results of them losing so much front office talent to the
right.
Astros
yeah.
And to other teams around the league, mm-hmm. as well as like, you know, the whole hacking scandal and like
there is a lot that's taken the shine off
yeah,
of them for sure.
They've definitely gotten sloppier around the edges,
yeah.
if that makes sense. But you're not wrong that they're like, are still pulling
yeah.
MVP candidates out of nowhere.
So this is like, you know, like when you have power rankings and there's like the red down arrow.
Yeah,
they're five with a red down arrow.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Is where I had them.
Number four. Why don't you go number four? Why don't
okay.
we snake it back and forth?
Four, I'm going to go... Oh, man. I'm going to go with the Dodgers because I don't know how I can't.
Okay.
Like, I don't even know if it's sustain. Like, I don't even know in 5 years if they'll be great. But there's no... they've been dominant for a while now.
I think the Dodgers are in my top five.
Okay, yeah.
I think that they check most boxes with the, like, caveat that, like, you know, I think they have made some bad moves, but they... I know we're setting finances aside, but they have the financial wherewithal to,
yeah.
like, get past those mistakes. And that's why, like, for me... Because I think if they hadn't, if they didn't make mistakes like these massive Matt Kemp contracts and stuff like that, I think they would have an argument for number one, just with like
yeah.
the talent they've developed in-house. They constantly have top prospects. The guys like Justin Turner and that they've acquired, Chris Taylor, that they've acquired yeah. from outside the organization yeah. that developed into all-stars. Yeah, absolutely. The Dodgers.
Think, yeah.
And like you look at how many years in a row have they won the division? They've been to two yeah. World Series in a row. Like they're sort of a few mistakes and a few lucky breaks away from being a dynastic team.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they're definitely a few lucky breaks away from a one World Series title for sure. Maybe yeah. maybe both. I guess I say 5 years because any team that does throw money at the problem, you never know when that can implode.
Yeah.
That hasn't really proven in a while to be sustainable to have money be your main mm-hmm. plus. But I don't think it is their main plus.
Yeah.
I think it could if some injuries happen. But they have young players. They're good at, yeah, like you said, they're good at finding diamonds in the roughs just like any other top team. So I think that, yeah, I think just that they do make mistakes. They do cover their mistakes with money. They do they are like disappointing sometimes still, like either in the playoffs or like when they lost like 16 in a row or whatever that, mm-hmm. like, it's just you can't quite get 100, or I can't quite get 100% behind the Dodgers being like the team.
Yeah, and I think in terms of like the on-field strategies, like Dave Roberts, I don't think he's a bad manager, but I do think he leaves something to be desired, and certainly that is putting it mildly for a lot of Dodgers fans yeah. who hate him. But
he's like in your con column if you're doing a pro con, probably, even though maybe that's unfair.
It's probably he's just like a nothing. Like
he's just
a neutral yeah. kind of like that's where most managers land, mm-hmm. I think, and he would be in there for me.
Yeah. But yeah, who's your four?
My number four is the Yankees.
Okay.
And I'll say my number three is the Dodgers.
Oh, okay. My number three is the Yankees.
Oh, okay.
So we'll just go ahead and flip those.
So the reason I put the Yankees behind the Dodgers is just because of like all the injuries the Yankees have had, like,
yeah,
especially this year. But like, this is now sort of an ongoing problem for them that makes me kind of question,
could it
like,
be organizational?
Yeah, is this like an organizational like problem with the training staff or the like facilities?
But
or
all
the,
those, oh, sorry, that's hot. But the Dodgers, the Dodgers pitching injuries,
yeah, for sure. But I think the Dodgers. the Dodgers' injuries are less high profile, and you expect pitchers to get injured, right?
That's a good point. Like, yeah. Some of that's bad luck for sure. Like blisters isn't anything that yeah. the Dodgers can control.
And I'm sure a fair amount of the Yankees is bad luck as well, but like it just does make you question if there's an institutional issue somewhere along the chain when like it just keeps happening mm-hmm. over and over again, you know? And I think like they, you know, they're a team that's at least somewhat routinely guys take longer to come back than was initially anticipated.
Yeah.
You know, it just happened with Stanton and Andujar.
Right.
So maybe there's some recency bias there, but I think
that's a fair assessment though.
The Yankees develop talent really well and they yeah. do very well in the international market. They constantly have a good farm system as well.
I mean,
if you can't keep guys healthy, like, are you targeting the wrong kind of player? And like, I think health is a skill too, you know? So maybe
for sure, yeah.
they're not targeting the kinds of guys who can stay healthy.
Interesting. Yeah. I think the plus for me that put them over is just the fact that their down year was like missing the playoffs by one game.
Right. Yeah. That's very true.
They realized that they couldn't continue to be the old Steinbrenner Yankees. They knew that they had to figure out a way to reset, and their reset was barely a blip. And they did it in a way that's, like you said, is very effective. Like, they've been yeah. very good at finding a new way to spend money
mm-hmm.
and to develop players in a standard of the cap. And so that was what was so impressive to me. It was just like, we didn't even get like the 3 years of the Yankees, like what like the Phillies went through, which was longer, but we didn't even get that at all.
Yeah.
We got them being missing the playoffs 1 year, and then yeah. now they were back winning the wild card.
Which is frankly upsetting.
It's a little upsetting, but I think it's a testament to why that's what put them at number three to me. It was like, man, yeah. if you're doing that, if you stayed
down.
The Yankees like just like that, then dang.
Yeah.
All right.
Number two.
The Deuce.
Who you got? The Deuce.
The Tampa Bay Rays.
That's who I have at number two.
Are we going to have the same number one?
Okay. I bet we are.
I bet we do. This is almost like the opposite because, like, this is the one team that doesn't need to be in the playoffs to have this high ranking necessarily, yeah. Just because it's impressive that they're competitive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the only reason for me that they're not number one is because their ownership is, like, one of the least supportive in baseball.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess, you know, maybe we shouldn't have set financials aside, but because I guess the ownership is supportive in the way that they give the front office and the management team sort of free rein to really experiment.
They just don't give them money.
They just don't give them any money. Right. But yeah, certainly the most progressive team in baseball in terms of on-field strategy, one of the most successful at developing talent. Certainly, I'd say at this point in recent history, the most successful in terms of acquiring undervalued talent. And in fact, the thing that made me think of this idea was I saw Avisio Garcia hit his 10th home run of the year, and I went to look up, like, oh, I wonder how he's doing in general. And he's like, he would be the most valuable player on the White Sox this year. And it's just like, this dude fucking washed out of the organization even after an all-star season because he just like couldn't keep it all together. And of course the Rays pick him up. And of course they have like whatever magic formula he needs to become a consistent contributor again.
Their proprietary information has to be the best in baseball.
Yeah. I would be so curious to like get a peek inside the offices one day. Cause whatever kind of proprietary stuff, like they must just be leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else in terms of like how they use it for scouting and how they even like project health and stuff like that.
And then they must have a good training staff or coaches, like lower level coaches. Like, I mean, how could they not?
Yeah.
There's no way.
And then you look at I mentioned the Tommy Pham trade, which I think they made out like bandits, as well as the Chris Archer trade, even though Tyler Glasnow is hurt.
But he was like on a Cy Young path before he got hurt. So they were definitely, and Archer is, like, Glasnow on the shelf is still probably better than Archer.
Archer hasn't been good whatsoever. It's funny. I think we called both of those trades, like, back at the deadline last year as being, like, transparently awesome for Tampa Bay and bad for the Cardinals and the Pirates. But I'm still amazed that it's worked out as well as it has for the Rays.
I think I was a little neutral. I just think there was like a solid trade, I think, for the Pirates, the Pirates one.
Yeah.
Because like, how could I have possibly predicted Chris Archer would be this bad?
Yeah, right.
Like, we could have predicted that he wouldn't be great, but he's a non-entity.
Yeah.
For a team playing really well.
Yeah.
He's like hurting that team. He's like hurting a good team.
He'd be one of the leaders of like a surprisingly good Pirates team.
Number one.
I mean, the Rays have like sort of the presumptive rookie of the year favorite right now in the AL, I think, and Brandon Lau, who I had never heard of and is having an amazing year. Yeah. Like, it just boggles the mind a little bit.
And they survived a hit when they lost Friedman too. Like, that was like, right? Friedman?
Andrew Friedman to the Dodgers.
Like, I think a lot of people at the time were like, oh, well, is this like the end of the Rays as we know? And they lost Madden, obviously, but he's a little overrated. but like, I think
Kevin Cash apparently is the guy to go. Like,
yeah. I mean, what a rebound to lose your GM and then instantly plug one in that can do basically the same thing.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I almost wish I was a Rays fan, but also it would be a very frustrating experience to be like so close to being an annual powerhouse and instead have to take sort of moral victories.
Also, but talk about just being a Rays fan and just looking at the AL Central. Like, I know the Twins are really good, but like,
it would be so frustrating.
Yeah.
If the Rays get their new stadium, the one that Designs came out for last year, they have a chance to like have something really special and really cool, I think, because that stadium looked fucking
like a downtown
awesome.
Tampa stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, did you see like a proposal for a new Diamondback stadium got leaked?
No.
It's just a proposal. It's not like at all like what they're doing. It's like an exploratory thing.
Yeah.
And it's like set against a canyon.
Oh, actually, I think
did you
see that?
See that? It looked really cool. They didn't even have a location. It was just like a definitely like exploratory, like someone draw me a plan. But
it's so crazy that the Diamondbacks are trying to get a new stadium. That stadium is 20 years old.
I mean, it is such a weird place to see a game when the roof is closed.
It's a strange stadium, but it's not a bad stadium.
And it's in downtown Phoenix. It's a great location.
Yeah.
Anyway, bizarre. That was a sidebar, but
tangent.
Number one.
I got the Astros.
Yeah, it's the Astros. It has to be. How could it not be?
How could it not be? Especially with the way that they look this year. I mean, yeah. Their lineup, like 1 through 9, even with George Springer and Jose Altuve injured, their lineup 1 through 9 is probably the best in the majors.
Well, I mean, like Michael Brantley is having a good year.
He's having an amazing year, yeah.
Bregman is now like a bona fide superstar. Yeah. Like
Springer is having his best year ever. Yeah, he was before he went down.
Verlander will pitch until he's 100. Like
Garrett Cole. They turned him into the ace everybody thought that he was.
Yeah.
I guess
the Pirates and the pitching. Yeah, they just cannot.
For sure. the one thing that I don't know, I guess I'm inclined to judge them more harshly on, is still getting Roberto Osuna.
It sucks.
But from a pure baseball trade, that was a genius trade.
Well, I mean, but then Aroldis Chapman's on the Yankees, so we could look at.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you could say that about a lot of guys, but right. Osuna's, I think, one of the more high profile domestic abuse suspensions.
Yeah.
So on top of sort of all that, they have Forrest Whitley and Kyle Tucker, who are both top 15 prospects. Yeah. It's an embarrassment of riches in Houston. And I think, Jeff Lunau and his staff came from St. Louis, and that's why I wonder, how much they lost.
Yeah.
But I think, man, it's got to be so validating to be Jeff Lunau, because he really came under heat for their, tank so hard strategy, and for some of the more progressive or advanced techniques they were trying to teach in the minors and that kind of thing. But they do seem like an organization top to bottom that is on the same page and that is very at the forefront of a lot of the same stuff that the Rays are.
But they have much more top level talent.
They have a ton more resources and top level talent.
Yeah. But if you're an Astros fan, you're feeling pretty good for a while.
Yeah.
Right?
You'd think at least the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, we sort of talked about, I think, last week how teams can get old pretty quick in a surprising way. Mm-hmm. So you never know, especially with Cole being a free agent and Verlander
will die sometime.
Someday. But at the very least, you think this is a team that has the leadership and the on-field personnel to set themselves up very well for the near, medium, and long-term future.
There's nothing abnormal that worries you.
Yeah.
It's the regular everybody worries about stuff.
Right, right. Yeah. You can't stay ahead of everybody else forever.
So no Red Sox on these lists.
Well, I think that the Red Sox, they have the worst farm system in baseball, I think, by most measures.
And then the Cubs don't make this list for a very similar reason, I feel like.
Yeah. It sort of is they reached the pinnacle but it does not seem like it will be they're not set up to be ongoing contenders in the same way
Red
the
Sox
Astros
fan,
or the Yankees or the Dodgers
you're nervous if you're a Red Sox fan.
Right. 2 years from now, what do the Astros look like? Or what do the Red Sox look like?
You might not know.
You have a lot of guys still there, but that's 2 years older. Yeah. I mean, exact same thing we were just saying. Yeah. What does Chris Sale look like with 2 more years on his arm? What do you do when they're not going to keep, Jackie Bradley Jr. and Mookie Betts and Andrew Benintendi? So how do you replace whichever one of those guys? Probably Bradley. How do you replace the ones that you let go?
Yeah. So here's my next question. In 3 years, if we make this list, who do you think is the most likely to have taken over one of the spots?
That's a good question.
So who's trending up for you? They could be in your mind even ranked 18 still, but you feel like they're trending up, or they could be ranked number 7 and you feel like that they're right there.
I mean, from what we've seen the last 3 years, I would probably take the Astros over the field. Well, would I over the whole field? Maybe not. Maybe I'd take the field,
who gets in this list? Who let's say that the Rays bottom out or the Dodgers bottom out in the next 3 years, and then we have to move someone in.
Yeah, I'd say the Phillies and Braves probably.
Yeah, I was thinking Braves.
The Braves have the sort of farm system, and I liked Anthopoulos when he was the Blue Jays GM. I still like him. I guess with them,
he makes those good 1 year contract signings that I like, that he might not have to keep doing if they just get good. But he seems to not. He seems to be able to find value.
I don't really know what to think of Snitker or Kapler. Like, I could see either of them being good managers once we get to know more of them, or like bad managers.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on Snitker at all.
Yeah.
Other than he might be a good clubhouse guy.
Yeah.
But Kapler, I kind of can't believe.
He just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, he just seems like a cartoon. The dark horse, I would say, would maybe, I guess I don't know that much about their front office or their farm system, but it seems like the Reds are going in the right direction, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've had a very good farm system for a while. I think the Twins are a sneaky maybe choice. Mm-hmm. They completely overhauled their entire front office and like are now seem to be one of the more analytically aligned teams, and it's obviously bearing fruit for
them.
And
like 4 years ago, you would have said the opposite.
Yeah.
They were one of the of the least analytical teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or however many years ago. Yeah. But yeah. Okay.
Blue Jays, maybe.
I just don't know. I don't know about the Blue Jays because I just don't know if they just happen to get a bunch of good players. Like, I don't know how much of it's been developed. Sometimes it's tough when you just have a bunch of good people in your farm system. Obviously, that means that you. I don't know how much of that's just true talent versus how much they're contributing to that.
I think
like anybody would have done well with Vlad Jr.
Right, and that's probably true with Vlad Jr. But I think those guys are obviously a Vlad Jr. type prospect is few and far between. But I think like even guys who are going to succeed without being coached up too much, like there's a big drop off from like the number one prospect in baseball who probably is that to even like the 10th best prospect.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think like that's something that I'm sort of learning watching the White Sox is like they've had a lot of top prospects over the last 3 years and like a lot of them are struggling. And so I think it's not just about having a good draft pick and like even nailing that draft pick. It's like guys have to get better in your system. Nobody comes into your system as a major league ready player.
Right. Except for
Steven Strasburg, I guess.
Because Bryce Harper probably wasn't even quite there yet, was he?
Yeah, Trout, I mean, he was like 17 or something, you know? So it's like you got to coach
Alex
these
Rodriguez,
guys up.
Alex Rodriguez, Kentucky Jr. Yeah, it's pretty rare for someone to be major league ready just coming out, obviously.
Yeah. I think like even a guy like Bo Bichette or whatever is like that dude is good, but maybe even great, but not an elite prospect. And so it takes cultivating of those kind of guys for them to reach their potential.
You might be right about the Blue Jays. I just feel like to me, it's like maybe a year early for me to tell.
Off of like they were just good like 2 years ago,
three years.
They were a very good team.
Is true.
Now they've sort of stocked their farm system very quickly and I liked the moves that they did make when they were a good team. Mm-hmm. So I could see them resuming that path.
Doing what the Yankees were supposed to have done by being bad for just a few years and then restocking as opposed to just being
being good
an 85 win team for 1 year. I know, isn't it frustrating? Royals didn't make this one, huh?
The best organization.
They did not make the cut. Unbelievable.
In terms of the top five organizations in baseball at discouraging pornography use, I would rank the Royals right at the top of the list.
Great.
So they've got that going for them, which is excellent.
Oh man. Here's what I'll say about the Royals. That organization, they're not in shambles in the sense of like that organization is on a page and everyone's on that page.
Right.
Like,
but it's like
even if the vision sucks, it's everyone's seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Even down to like the announcers, like their whole way that they have a broadcast, like is just like everything is so perfectly Royals.
Right.
And I guess that's probably a combination of Dayton Moore and David Glass.
Yeah.
It's such a weird, it's such a weird
organization,
Midwest organization
sure.
that, but I don't know, could be worse. Could be the Mets.
Yeah, could be the Mets. Well, with that, let's move on to our other topic for the show, which is basically all-star voting started today when we're recording this, which is Tuesday, May 28th. We wanted to make a little wager here on who is going to be the most voted for All-Star. And we're doing this without Googling last year's results, I think.
Should we eliminate Mike Trout? It's going to be Mike Trout.
But is it going to be Mike Trout?
Okay. If you're not going to pick Mike Trout, then we don't have to.
I'm not going to pick Mike Trout.
I'm not going to pick Mike Trout either. Okay. So we'll are effectively eliminating Mike Trout.
We're effectively eliminating Mike Trout. And we're going to say whoever loses owes the other one what? A beer, a six pack, a jersey of the player in question.
A jersey. That's pretty good.
That's good. You want to do that?
A jersey? Okay, yeah. That's good. I was going to propose like an ice cream and a helmet at a baseball game.
Oh, that's pretty good too.
Well, whoever wins gets to pick.
Yeah. We'll pick.
Because jersey is pretty good. Now I'm just going to pick. So it's whoever gets the most votes between the two people we pick. So I could pick a twin, and if they get more votes than who you pick, then you have to wear a twin jersey.
Well, that's true.
Anyway,
I don't think the twins are going to be the leading vote getters.
You don't think Jorge Polanco is going to get all those votes? All right. Okay. Jersey or an ice cream helmet.
Do you have somebody in mind?
I was thinking about Mike Trout. I have someone in mind.
Okay. Who you got?
I'm going to say Cody Bellinger.
Okay. That's good. He was at the top of my list. So. Okay. I feel very benevolent for letting you pick first because
is that who you were going to pick? Because I was deciding between two people.
I was deciding between two or three as well.
Oh, okay.
The other ones I was deciding between are Mookie Betts, who I'm not going to pick.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Christian Yelich.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's
those
a
Brewers
good one.
Brewers fans get riled.
They
man.
Do. The other
one. Those small market teams, when they get a good team and they get a superstar, like they get riled. Like that year the Royals had like six starters or whatever in the game.
That was dope. Like two of them deserved it. There was one year in the 70s, I think, that the Reds had eight starters.
Damn.
And it was like not the big red machine. So maybe it was like the late 60s or maybe like, but it was like definitely like a stuff the ballot situation. And I think like only like Johnny Bench and Joe Morgan like deserved it or whatever.
Sure.
I'm getting the names wrong, but it was like a definite, they did not deserve eight all-stars.
Right.
I was assigned between Bellinger and Harper.
Oh, interesting.
Just because Harper is going to get, he's going to be sixth place in voting just because he's the most famous baseball player.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
But
I mean,
he's not having a great year, so that's why I went with Bellinger.
I would be more likely to see him at, you know, third or fourth. I think probably the top outfielders are going to be Yelich or Bellinger.
Well, this is great because it's like a definite direct outfield NL outfielders. This is like when people vote, they will. I mean, I guess you can vote for both of them.
Yeah.
But we've set this up perfectly.
Yes, we have. Unintentionally,
unless Bellinger is listed as like a first baseman on the all-star ballot.
I think he's primary. I mean, we could look it up.
Well,
because
they have to decide before the season starts who.
No, I think they can change it now.
Oh, they can?
Yeah, because
it used to be so dumb, remember, where you couldn't like.
But that was because they would like print all the ballots at the beginning of the year,
yeah,
and now it's
true.
Mostly online.
Yeah. Do they even do print ballots? That would be such a waste. There's no way they do.
I mean, they probably do at ballparks and stuff.
For old
still.
People?
Maybe not. You can't even get into a lot of ballparks with a printed ticket, so it wouldn't. It's probably all online.
Yeah.
But I realized that because they were promoting on the White Sox broadcast, vote for James McCann for starting catcher. And James McCann's having a terrific year, but he was the backup catcher coming into the year. So.
Oh, right. So he wouldn't be on there necessarily. Yeah. Who will be the AL catcher?
Great question. Probably Gary Sanchez. He's having a pretty good
year. Oh, he is having a good year.
But there's
Perez
actually
is
a
out,
lot of guys
so.
Having a good years. Omar Narvaez for the Mariners is having a great
I feel like
year.
Catcher a lot of times is one where like even with name recognition, like someone can sneak in.
Yeah.
If they're having like,
yeah, if they're
a
having
good
a good enough year, for sure.
I think that's like one that definitely you because like some positions just like Altuve will start for second base,
right?
Unless he's hurt. Like it just even then like just because he's Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
Okay, Bellinger versus Yelich.
Let's do this.
Most votes.
Most votes.
Straight up.
Oh, no
boy.
Chaser.
This is going to be great.
Yeah, this will be
because I think that they're going to be close, and I think there are going to be articles coming out that say, like, Bellinger's gaining on Yelich, and we're going to be like, hell yeah. And so...
All my Brewer fans out there, get voting.
So you'll get a Yelich jersey.
Yeah.
And I'll get a Bellinger jersey.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a Bellinger jersey would be a pretty big one.
I'll take that.
You can wear that to Dodgers games.
I don't have to wear a Brewers jersey.
Yeah.
I have a Justin Turner baseball shirt. It was a giveaway.
I think I have that same
one. Yeah, that
one
too.
Yeah, I think we went to that. I think I gave mine away, actually, because it was like an extra large.
It's very huge. I was wearing it for like pickup games before we got
that
real
may have been
uniforms.
Like the first game we ever went to together. I think it was you, me, and Joe, and it was like the first year of Duck Snort.
It was at least 2 years ago because it was before we were on the sliders.
Yeah,
because like when we were doing pickup games before, I was wearing the Justin Turner jersey because you gotta wear a jersey.
Gotta wear a jersey. All right, well, that's all the time we have for today's show. Looking forward to checking in on that. On that bet as the All-Star voting goes on. Quick programming announcement. We will not have shows for the next 2 weeks because Wayland is off to Peru. And here's a fun fact about Peru. They have never had a major league player. They've never... There's been no player born in Peru who has made the major leagues. However, Jesus Luzardo, who is a pitching prospect for the Athletics, who is one of the top 10 or so prospects in baseball, is from Peru.
He's Peruvian.
And would be the first Peruvian-born player in the major leagues.
I don't know how much Peru likes sports. I'm thinking about it.
I know they got a soccer team. They had a soccer team. I think they just played the U.S. in a friendly, maybe.
Well, they definitely have a soccer team, but they're not like a World Cup powerhouse the same way Brazil, Argentina, or kind of like Colombia is.
It's a pretty small country, right?
Peru?
Yeah.
Size-wise, no. It's one of the bigger ones in South America. But they also don't really have any Olympic presence.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a lot of, like Sri Lanka has like great cricket team.
Peru did make the World Cup.
Oh, they did?
This last...
Well, I stand corrected. I am so sorry, country I'm about to visit.
I was thinking that I saw them play and I even like Googled them because I was like, huh, interesting, Peru.
Okay. I'm wrong. I stand corrected. I'm so sorry, Peru. Please don't be mean to me when I'm there. I don't root against
all our
Peru.
Peruvian listeners.
I just forgot that Peru had a team. Yeah. Or I knew that they had a team, but that they played at that high enough level. Well, good.
Yeah.
That's good. It would be cool to see a sporting event while I'm there.
Yeah. If there's something, I don't know what, I'm sure they do have sports.
Well, they definitely have. I mean, they obviously have baseball if there's a prospect.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like they must have some kind of local, either pro soccer league or like other smaller sport that we're not aware of.
That's what I was getting at. It's like, I wonder what their kids grow up playing. Like what the,
I would guess it's soccer, but that is just sort of like, just because blanket, you know, soccer is very popular in South America
and the world
and the World Cup.
Yeah. I'll find out.
Yeah.
And I'll report
back.
And
if you can see something, you definitely should.
If there's like a little, like if there's like whatever their professional baseball or club base, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it works. I don't know the system down there.
Yeah.
I'll try to check out one of those at 14,000 feet.
Yeah. See some dingers, some ding dongs. Well, thank you guys for listening. Check back with us in a few weeks when Waylon is back. Waylon, hope you have an excellent trip.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks again to Boardwalk Audio and to Off the Bench Baseball for their support. Thanks to Moonbounce for the transition music. Thanks to our old producer, Joe Weber, for the theme music. Leave reviews on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe, all that good stuff. And we will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
A Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.